Welcome back to another deep dive. Today, we are putting on our hazmat suits and walking right into the engine room of the blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about price action or, you know, the latest meme coin. We are talking about that terrified pause, you know, the one, I mean, that split second after you hit send.
Oh, yeah.
Where your stomach just drops and you pray you didn't just vaporize your net worth.
The crypto breath hold. It's a universal experience.
It really is. And it all stems from one specific thing. The wallet address.
Yeah.
That long, ugly, scrambled mess of characters that stands between you and, well, financial ruin.
Right.
I was revisiting some material from the first Crypto Steps course, specifically the breakdown in Lesson 5, and it really hammered home a reality that I think even seasoned users kind of forget.
What's that?
In the legacy world, if I wire money and I get a digit wrong, the bank clerk, they fix it. If I mail a letter to a non-existent zip code, it comes back.
Of course. The legacy system is designed with undo buttons.
Mm-hmm.
It assumes humans are messy, you know, that we make mistakes.
Mm. But in our world, there is no return to sender.
Zero. That is the double-edged sword of self-sovereignty.
Right.
If you mess up a single character in that string, the blockchain doesn't care about your intent. It just executes the code.
And the money is gone.
The money is either burned, locked in a void forever, or sent to someone who is definitely not going to refund you.
Which is why today isn't just about, like, how to copy and paste. We are doing a deep dive into the actual anatomy of these addresses.
Good.
We want to understand the machinery so that when we look at that string of gibberish, we don't see chaos. We see patterns. We're moving from fingers crossed to, you know, actual mastery.
And honestly, this is the highest ROI skill you can have. You could pick the best assets in the world, but if you can't transport them safely, you have nothing.
So let's start with the basics of what we're actually looking at. The course uses this analogy of the digital postman, comparing a wallet address to a street address. Street, city, zip code. It's a routing instruction.
It's a useful starting point. It tells the network exactly where to allocate value on the ledger. But I think for our listeners who are, you know, a bit further along, we need to upgrade that analogy.
Okay.
It's less like a postal address and more like a coordinate in a hostile environment.
Hostile is the right word.
Yeah.
Because unlike a postman who might know that Mean Street is actually Main Street.
Right. He uses his intuition.
The blockchain is ruthlessly literal.
Exactly. It's a protocol.
Mm.
It runs on math, not intuition. It uses what we call hashing functions to derive these addresses from your public key.
Mm.
So when you look at that string, you're looking at a cryptographic fingerprint.
Let's break down that fingerprint. Because to the untrained eye, Ethereum, Bitcoin, Solana, they all just look like alphanumeric soup. But there is a logic here. Let's start with the big one for DeFi users, Ethereum and the EVM chains.
Right. If you're in the Ethereum ecosystem, you know the drill. It always starts with 0x.
0x. That's the flag.
It stands for hexadecimal. It's a base 16 system. The address is always 42 characters long. But here is something that trips people up, and I see it debated in forums all the time. Case sensitivity.
Oh, this is a big one. I've had moments where I paste an address and it comes out in all caps or all lowercase, and I panic thinking I broke it.
So technically, at the protocol level, Ethereum addresses are not case sensitive. The network interprets 0x followed by a lowercase a, the same as an uppercase a.
Okay, but, and there is always a but, why do some wallets specifically mix the cases? You'll see an address that looks like a ransom note, you know, random capitals everywhere.
That is actually a brilliant safety feature called a checksum. It was introduced via EIP-55. Basically, the capitalization isn't random. It's a code within a code.
Mm-hmm.
If you type a letter wrong, the checksum algorithm realizes the capitalization doesn't match the mathematical hash of the address, and the wallet will reject it. It'll say invalid.
That is fascinating. So the mixed casing is basically the wallet software trying to save you from yourself.
Exactly. If you have the option, always use the checksum, the mixed case version. It's a free layer of protection.
Now, speaking of Ethereum, we have to talk about the EVM equivalence issue. This is where things get really sticky for people navigating layer twos.
Oh, absolutely. This is a classic advanced user trap.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ethereum, Optimism, Arbitrum, Polygon, they all use the same address standard. Your private key generates the exact same 0x address on all of them.
Which sounds convenient. One address to rule them all.
It is convenient until it isn't. The danger is assuming that just because the address exists on all chains, the assets can just teleport between them.
Right. I've heard horror stories of people sending USDC on the Polygon network to their Coinbase address, but Coinbase at the time only accepted USDC on Ethereum mainnet.
And poof. The money is technically sitting in that address on the Polygon network, but the exchange doesn't look at that network. They don't have the keys configured to sweep it.
It's like delivering a package to the right house number, but in the wrong city.
Perfect analogy. The road matters just as much as the house.
Okay, so let's pivot to the grandfather, Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the weird uncle in this family because it seems to change its outfit every few years.
It does have a few wardrobe changes, yeah. You'll see legacy addresses starting with 1, then you had script addresses starting with 3, but the modern standard you should be seeing most often now starts with BC1.
The BEC 32 addresses.
Exactly. This is for SegWit.
And this isn't just aesthetic, right? I remember reading that using the BC1 addresses is actually cheaper.
Significantly.
Yeah.
SegWit reorganizes the data in the block, making the transaction smaller in terms of bytes, which, you know, means you pay fewer satoshis and fees.
So if you're still using a wallet that generates addresses starting with a 1,
you are essentially paying a compatibility tax on every single transaction.
Good to know. Upgrade your wallets, people. Now, here's the scary part about Bitcoin compared to Ethereum. Case sensitivity.
Yes. Unlike Ethereum, Bitcoin legacy addresses are case sensitive.
That creates a pit in my stomach. So an uppercase A and a lowercase a are total different destinations.
Completely different. Now, the modern BC1 addresses are case insensitive. They're usually all lowercase, which is another reason to upgrade. But if you're dealing with those older formats, you have to be precise.
Now, there's another behavior in Bitcoin that freaks people out. I've had friends ask me, why does my receiving address change every time I use it? They think they've been hacked.
Ah, yes. The Hierarchical Deterministic Wallet, or HD wallet.
Sounds like a techno band.
It does. But it's actually a privacy feature. In Ethereum, you tend to reuse the same address for everything, which means anyone can look at Etherscan and see your entire financial history.
Right.
Bitcoin wallets try to prevent this by generating a fresh public address from your XPub key for every single transaction.
So all those different addresses still point to my same pile of money.
Exactly. Think of it like a business having a different invoice number for every client. All the checks go into the same bank account, but the clients don't know about each other.
That makes sense. So if you see your address rotate, don't panic. It's working as intended. Now let's talk about the third big player mentioned in the lesson, Solana.
Solana does something really smart with its user interface design. They use Base58 encoding.
I love this detail. It's such a human-centric design choice.
It really is. Think about the standard keyboard. A 0 and a capital letter O look almost identical. A capital I and a lowercase l look the same.
The famous, is that an L or a 1?
Exactly. Base58 simply removes those ambiguous characters from the pool. Hmm. A Solana address will never contain a 0, O, I, or L.
That removes so much visual friction, you never have to squint at the screen wondering if it's a typo.
It reduces the fat finger risk significantly.
Speaking of fat fingers and risk, let's move into the danger zone. The source material had this exercise called Spot the Difference. Did you try it?
I did. It's humbling.
It showed two addresses, address A and address B. They looked identical. 0x7422, giant string of characters. But at the very end, address A ended in BD08, address B ended in BD80.
A simple swap of the last two digits.
And looking at it casually, my brain just auto-corrected it. I saw the shapes, not the characters.
That is how our brains work. We are pattern-matching machines, not data verification machines. And that biological shortcut is exactly what hackers exploit with something called address poisoning.
This is a nasty one.
Yes.
Walk us through how this works, because it's not just a simple typo.
So imagine you're a whale. You send a lot of transactions. A hacker watches the blockchain. They see you sent 1,000 USDC to a certain address. They then use a script to generate a vanity address that looks almost exactly like your friend's address.
It matches.
It matches the same first 4 characters, same last 4 characters.
Wow, that's dedication.
It's automated. Then they send you a tiny amount of crypto or even 0 crypto from that fake address.
So now that fake address is sitting at the top of my transaction history.
Exactly. The next time you want to send money to your friend, you lazily open your history, see the last transaction, and think, oh, that's the one, copy it.
And send your millions directly to the hacker.
That's the attack.
That is diabolical because it exploits the fact that we rely on history.
And it exploits the fact that we usually only check the start and the end of the string.
Which brings us to the malware aspect, clipboard hijacking.
This is the invisible enemy.
Oh.
You can be the most careful person in the world, copy the right address, but your computer is infected. The malware uses something called regular expressions, or rejects. It's constantly scanning your clipboard in the background.
Watching for a string that starts with 0x and is 42 characters long.
Precisely. The millisecond it sees that pattern, it swaps it for the hacker's address. You hit paste, and unless you are hypervigilant, you'll never notice the switch.
This is why the instruction, never type an address manually, is only step one. It's not enough.
No, it's not. Manual typing is suicide, but copy-pasting is Russian roulette if you don't verify.
And we should probably touch on the human-readable stuff, ENS domains, right? Bob.f. It solves the complexity problem, doesn't it?
It solves complexity, but it introduces a new trust layer. Who owns the registry? And more importantly, there are spoofing attacks there, too.
Like the zero width space.
Yes. A hacker can register a name that looks like Amazon.f, but they insert an invisible character, a zero width space in the middle.
So to my eye, it looks perfect.
Looks perfect. But to the blockchain, it's a totally different address.
It feels like the Wild West out here.
It is. But that doesn't mean you can't walk down the street safely. You just need a protocol.
Let's get to that solution.
Hmm.
The source material outlines a sending protocol. It's basically a pre-flight checklist.
Phase three of the lesson. And frankly, this should be muscle memory for everyone listening.
Step one, the input.
Use the copy button or the QR code. Never highlight text manually if you can avoid it. You might miss a character.
Step two, the verification sandwich.
This is the standard. Check the first 4-6 characters and check the last 4-6 characters.
Now, I want to challenge this a bit. You just mentioned address poisoning, where hackers match the start and end. So isn't the sandwich method broken?
It's not broken, but it needs an upgrade for large amounts.
Yeah.
The sandwich stops random clipboard malware because generating an address that matches both ends is computationally very expensive for a hacker to do in real time.
Oh, okay.
But for address poisoning, you need to check the middle too. Or better yet, don't rely on transaction history. Use a whitelist, an address book.
Right. But there's a hardware aspect to this verification too, isn't there?
This is the God-tier safety tip.
Mm.
If you are using a hardware wallet like a Ledger or Trezor, which you should be, you cannot trust your computer screen.
Because the computer could be compromised?
Exactly. Your computer screen might show the correct address, but the malware is telling the USB device to send to the hacker. The only truth is on the tiny screen on the hardware device itself.
That's the trusted display.
Yes. When you click send, the device asks you to confirm. You read the address on the device. If it matches your destination, you sign. If it doesn't, you are under attack.
That is a critical distinction. The computer is a lying narrator. The hardware wallet is the source of truth.
Precisely.
Step three in the protocol, the test transaction.
I know people hate this. It costs extra gas. It takes extra time.
But is it worth it?
If you're moving $50, maybe not. If you're moving $50,000, absolutely. Send $10, confirm it arrives, then send the rest. It is cheap insurance.
And finally, bookmarking.
Whitelisting. Most exchanges and wallets let you save addresses. My cold storage, Jane's wallet. Once you have verified an address with a test transaction, save it. Don't recopy it from a text message every time. Lock it in.
It really is about removing variables. The more you automate the safety, the less room there is for your caffeine-deprived brain to make a mistake.
That's the goal. Boredom is safe. Excitement usually means you messed up.
We've covered a lot of ground here. We've dissected the anatomy of EVM, Bitcoin, and Solana addresses. We've looked at the terrifying ingenuity of malware and poisoning attacks.
And we've built a protocol to defeat them.
I think the biggest takeaway for me, going back to that self-check in the source material, is that confidence doesn't come from hope. It comes from process.
That's it.
Before we sign off, I want to leave listeners with a thought. We talk a lot about be your own bank. It's the crypto slogan.
It's catchy.
But when you're staring at that 42-character string, realizing there is no fraud department, no 1-800 number, that slogan feels heavy.
It should feel heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Being your own bank means you are also your own security guard, your own IT department, and your own insurance policy. The blockchain gives you absolute freedom.
Yeah.
It will let you send your life savings to a burning trash can if you tell it to.
Total control means total responsibility.
Exactly. The protocol works if you respect it. If you treat it casually, it will punish you.
Mm.
But if you respect the anatomy of the transaction, if you use the checklist,
you
really can be sovereign.
So keep your eyes on the characters, trust your hardware screen, and watch out for those zero-width spaces.
Stay sharp out there.
Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll catch you on the next block.